Blog Talk Radio.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
To the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory,
oh,
glory, glory.
Now the war is not over.
Man, every time I hear that song, man, I don't know, something inside of me just stands up, man. Just it bubbles to the surface, and it's like I almost want to stand up, man, and just pump my fist in the air. And I don't know, that song is so inspirational. They should have got 3 Oscars for that. I mean, Common and John Legend did their thing, you know, and I know to some that song is a secular song, but you know what? You know, I've been known to bend the rules just a little bit. Pray for me, y'all. Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. You're on a live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am your host tonight, Brother Manny, and you know what happens on Monday nights? We open up the phone lines. That's right. Even though some of you are a little chicken, you don't call in, I know that you're out there. And I know that you have an opinion. And so tonight, our topic is fatherless homes. Fatherless homes. My brother and I, the good Reverend Pastor Joseph Charles Murphy, he's the senior pastor at the Caring Church of Memphis. We had a conversation and we were talking about fatherlessness in the homes and why so many fathers are not in the home, and the direct correlation to the violence and the trouble that kids get in having one single parent household. And if any of what's going on now can be directly attributed to the father not being in the home. And so my brother, he came up with a great question. Is it systematic, or as they say, is it systematic? Is it something that's being perpetuated by a higher power, manipulated, and this is a strategy to take all the fathers out of the home? Or do we think that some of the earnest lies on the fathers themselves being selfish and not wanting to be in the home? Is it that crazy baby mama? Y'all know who I'm talking about, and y'all know who y'all are. You know, that push good men away out back into the streets because he didn't take the garbage out or because he didn't get your nails done the time you wanted him to get it done. I'm just asking the question, why are fathers not in the homes the way they used to be? And maybe the way they used to be in the homes wasn't all that great either. We're going to talk about that tonight. And you know the number to call in is 323-870-3403. That's right, 323-870-3403. Now, I'm never alone. I always have my brothers with me to back me up, or should I say I back them up, because they do most of the talking. That way I don't get myself in any trouble when I don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm going to bring them on now. I have a couple of my brothers on right now. They are my literal brothers, but they are also born-again, ordained elders, ministers of the Most High God. I'm going to bring the first one on. God bless you, Brother Monty. How are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. God bless you, Brother Emmanuel.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining us tonight, Monty. And you know the Rev is on with me. He never leave me hanging. God bless you, Rev. How are you?
I'm blessed. God bless you, Brother Manny. How are you? How you doing, Brother Monty?
Man,
I'm doing all right, Brother Joe. What's going on?
Man, we're doing good. All right. We're on here, man. Listen, folks, I want to let you know before we get started, again, the number to call in is 323-870-3403. Hey, while you're at it, if you're on social media, if you're on Facebook, I want you to go over and like and follow God's Word to Man on Facebook. That's right. We have a Facebook page. And you know what? We want you to follow it. We want you to like it, because we notify you when we have topics just like this, when we have Facebook Live videos that we really want you to see. So if you're on social media, go on over and like and follow our page. Okay? Support. Thank you for the support. You guys heard the topic, man. I mean, listen, you know how it goes. I give each of you an opportunity to introduce yourselves, you know, your title, whatever, what have you, whatever you want to introduce to the people, and I give you an opening comment. We're going to start with you, Brother Monty. Introduce yourself. How long have you been in the ministry so that the people know you're just not some Joe Schmo off the street just giving insight, okay?
God bless you all. I just want to thank God for this humbling experience to be able to talk on the broadcast to people around the world. And it's really not about titles, even though I was officially ordained as an evangelist, an elder evangelist. And I also operated in the ministry in many different titles. But it's not about titles. It's about serving. And so I want to have a spirit of servitude, because it's really about serving for the kingdom of God. And so right now I'm currently a member of Family Christian Center, which is located out in Munster, Indiana, where a senior pastor is Pastor Steve and Melody Muncy. So they always hosting different theatrical, biblical ministries to be able to bring in the multitudes of people. One called the Passion Play, which is just really wonderful. And so just getting into the topic itself, it's just a broad spectrum, as you had mentioned, Brother Emmanuel. And so the broad spectrum really detail so much information that you would probably have to talk about this segment on multiple occasions. And so, and if I will allude to that systematically, it has been a charge to be able to create a dysfunctional household for Black Americans. If, in fact, if you've never seen this movie before, this is just one of my background segments. It was called Claudine or something like that, a movie where James Earl Jones was in it. And in that movie itself, he was Diane Carroll, and he was dating her, and she had all these children. It showed in this movie that she was on welfare, and because she was on welfare, it was even in that time frame, I believe it was either the early 60s and the late 70s, that you couldn't have a man in the home, or a woman couldn't have a marriage with a man in a home and still collect welfare. And so that goes to show you that which were the one thing that God has already placed as a family unit, by having a man as a covering for his wife and a governor of their home, which is what God had placed in for the origin of time. That man would be the head of the household. And so when you take that man away from that equation, it's just like any mathematical formula. If you take those who of us who've had algebra or geometry in school, you realize that you cannot compute a formula when you take away a particular equation. And so when you take the father out of the home itself, you already demise the equation. The equation can't compute. You can't come up with a mathematical formula for it because the father needs to be in the home. And so that's been something that research and studies have been doing to break down the masses and the structure of the African-American families. And so what it further does is that it causes for families in the African-American community not to have awareness or identity. If you realize that the struggle that we face today is that we don't have our identity. When I was growing up in the early 70s, when going to school, we can equate that many of the young children will look up to their parents if the parents was in the household. I want to be like my father. And what they mean by that is that you wanted to operate maybe in the same field of interest as your father did or mother did, and that was children's goals. Today, they don't know who to look up to because the father's not there. And so that structure has been broken. And grandmother and grandfather has been raising children, or the mother, single family, has been raising children. And so that goes on even into the system that they have in place right now, which is called child support. I was talking to a friend of mine, Brother Corey, how the system is in place with child support and how they mainstream society. How is it that the system has found a way to even govern keeping fathers out of the home? And so when a father has a child and he know he has responsibilities, and that woman tends to take him to child support, now you got the government in your business. Child support in the state of Illinois, I don't know where anywhere else, but in the state of Illinois, you have to abide by the structure that they put in place. That's whether you got to pay child support, whether you're seeing your children or not. You have to still pay child support.
You're getting ahead of me, brother. You're getting ahead of me, brother. We're going to talk about all of that. I just want to get everybody on. I know this is a hot topic, but I got to introduce the other brothers. Hey, man.
Brother,
go ahead. Preacher. All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brother Manny.
We're going to get to it. Listen. I want to introduce our dear brother from Kankakee, Illinois. He's assistant pastor of Greater New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. God bless you. Coach, are you there?
I am here. How you doing, Murph?
I'm doing pretty good. Ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend Joseph Lightfoot is in the building. God bless you, Coach. For those of you who don't know, I played a little basketball back in the day, and Rev Lightfoot was my coach. But I thank you, praise God, that he decided to join us and grace us with his presence tonight. We're talking about fatherlessness in the home. And I don't know if you were able to hear my opening, Coach, but before we get started, let the people introduce yourself to the people. Let them know who you are, how long you've been in ministry, that kind of thing.
First of all, I'm grateful, and I definitely appreciate you having me on, Murph. And you and I do go back. I met you when you was in high school, and you was a joy to coach. And I got to tell the truth, not only were you a joy to coach, but you were extremely talented, man, extremely talented. That sweet jump shot and that, I don't know if you remember this, but we called it the meat hook. Boy, that hook shot you had was awesome. The only one I think about was Kareem, man, and he's a Hall of Famer. So that is the God.
Amen.
I'm from Kankakee, Illinois. I've been in ministry. I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ now for 28 years, I believe. I started in May of 1992. Matter of fact, I graduated college at 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and I preached my first sermon at 7 p.m. the very same day, May of 92.
Wow.
So I think that's about 28, 29 years ago. So I'm grateful, man. I actually walked away from basketball and some career opportunities and contracts, and the Lord drafted me to preach the gospel, and He's been faithful ever since, and I'm grateful.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Coach. I just often like the people to know who we're talking to, because I have strong men of God on this show. I don't have people who just, and it's okay if you just started and everything. We don't mind you calling in, but I like to have people who can provide real insight. And so we're talking about fatherlessness tonight, and why men are leaving the home at such an alarming rate. And some would object and say, that's just what the media is showing us. I don't know. I'm from the hood, and I don't know too many people who had their fathers in their life for whatever reason. So can you just basically give us a brief opening comment before we get to the meat and potatoes of the subject?
I sure can. I'll try to do my best. The bottom line in my perspective is that I have no perspective. My opinion, my thoughts are definitely insufficient, and they're not worth anything. And so what I do is I look at earthly issues, problems, whether it's systemic, whether it's corporate, or whether it's individual, personal. It all, I look through it through the eyes of Scripture, through the lens of Scripture, because in my opinion, which again really doesn't mean much, but the only opinion that matters is God, and what God has said and what God has laid forth. And so to briefly put it in perspective, looking through the lens of Scripture, I say it all stems back to the Garden of Eden. It all stems back to Adam and Eve and their rebellion against God. And once they rebelled and Adam and Eve allowed sin to be ushered, sin and death, to be ushered into the world, that turned everything upside down. And so if we start there, where man, Adam that is, in the book of Genesis, rebelled against God, the home has been under attack ever since the very day in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And when man lost his connection with God himself, and when man lost his fellowship and his worship and his identity, because we are made in the image of God, when he lost those things, everything else is just a trickling down effect as to why men are not in the home. So the bottom line is, in a nutshell, is you can attribute it all back to sin.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Coach. I really appreciate that. All right. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, he always got my back. I can depend on him. Rain, sleet, snow, he going to be on this broadcast with me. He'll never let me down. Is the Reverend, the good Reverend, Pastor Joseph Charles Murphy of the Caring Church of Memphis. God bless you, Rev. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you, Brother Manny, for having me on. May God continue to bless you and your household abundantly. I was enjoying what I was hearing from all the guys, but I must admit I have an affinity for Reverend Pastor Lightfoot because, number one, he got the right first name, and he's a former coach like I was. So he got to be all right. but I thank God. I've been in ministry. February will be 30 years as I've been licensed as a minister. Started pastoring in 2008 here in Chicago. We were here for 7 years, and now God has us establishing a ministry in Memphis. So we thank God for that. Just real briefly, you know, I kind of agree with what my brother just, you know, both the brothers just said for the most part, in particular, the origin of this issue being sin. You know, a lot of times we want to default to racism, but racism is just a collateral result of a greater problem, which is sin. And so once we can solve that, we can really deal with the racism and the systemic purpose or direct, if you will, intention of dividing the home. So I don't think anybody else is saying this, and I'm certainly not saying it either. This does not excuse the behavior of any fathers who had an opportunity to be present, but for whatever reason chose not to be present. And so I don't think any of us are saying that. I think we would all agree that if fathers have the opportunity to be present, we know some other things have happened to prevent that. But in a lot of cases, we have too many fathers who just have decided to have sex but not have a relationship with the child that came from the sex. And I can say that because I was one of those individuals on two separate occasions before God delivered me. And so that's my opening statement. Thank you, my brother.
Amen. No, thank you, Rev. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Brother Monty, I'm going to come back to you, all right? Here's my question. I know a lot of people listening want to ask about these crazy baby mamas, okay? Let's just get them out the way. Let's just call it what it is. I've heard a lot of men say, if it wasn't for the baby mamas, I would still be there, okay? And to that, you say what, Brother Money?
Well, I guess that's kind of being kind of biased for a man to say it's the baby mama, because we're not there, you know. Obviously, it obviously goes back to the Garden of Eden, because when God had asked Adam and Eve, "Where are thou?" they said, "We were hiding because we were naked, they're ashamed." But to fast forward, they start blaming. You know, Adam blamed the woman blamed the serpent, and so we're still playing that blame game today. So the situation here is that the man obviously is going to have to place blame somewhere for him not being able to be in the household. And it could come from various reasons, you know. It could have been dysfunctional from the very get-go. He may have thought he loved the woman, but he really was. That's the one thing that we really need to relate to, is that some people think they're in love, but they're really not. It's the lust that they have for this individual. And then they may have stepped out on that female. And so she don't want him no more in the household with the person that he may have had bare children with. You don't never know what the scenario is. So this is really broad for a man to say, well, is the woman the reason why, you know, I can't see my child? It's the woman because of this. So the blame is placed somewhere. And so, and we obviously have to be able to bring those things together.
Brother Monty, you're going out. I can't hear you.
I said, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? I said,
yes, sir.
We obviously could want to be able to bring about a purpose of a healthy relationship. And so if there's an unhealthy relationship in the household, that female is not going to want to have that man there, whether they have children together or not. They're not going to want to have that man there. And so it's always going to be the safety and the health of that particular family. And so then that man will say, well, that woman didn't want me there, so they walk away. And they go get into another relationship, and they end up being a stepfather to somebody else's child. I honestly believe that a lot of men, I think it's a greater percentage of men, that want to be in the household. I really do believe that. I believe that they want to be able to rear their children. But how can someone who's not knowledgeable of knowing how to rear a child when they're a child themselves? That also plays a part in it, dysfunction of a family. So I think it's kind of biased again. Back to your question, it's kind of biased for the man to just place blame unless you have all the detail on whether or not why that man is not in the household. You know, it could be because of abuse. He could have been physically abusing this woman, and she told him he had to go. Or it could have been just that he likes to stay out in the streets all the time. And she said, you know what, you want to stay in the streets, that's where you need to be. I don't want to deal with this. It's a lot of variables there, Brother Manuel, and that's what I want to just say about that, okay?
Okay, thank you for that, Brother Money. I'd like to introduce my brother, Brother Tom Lyon, Trinity Tabernacle Assembly
of
God.
Hey, brother. Hey, brother.
And Minneapolis T-Mobile
is back.
T-Mobile's
back.
I see. T-Mobile was having a hard time, brother.
Yes,
brother
indeed.
Tom, we're talking about fatherlessness in the homes. I was just asking Brother Money about the baby mamas or the young ladies in the home. There's some young ladies that say they don't need a man. They got a car. They got a house. They got money. They got a career. I don't need you to be here all the time. In fact, I'd rather be your side chick so I don't have to deal with this, that, or the other. It's very much indicative of the culture that we live in today. In an opening comment, can you really touch on that? And I know we talked about this sort of, and our topic is kind of piggybacking off of what we talked about last time about women asking where are the black men in the home, why have black men abandoned the black women in the home? But what about these women who are very successful that rather be the plan B and not actually come together as a family? Have you heard about that?
Well, brother, we can never discuss a problem without recognizing that a tree has many roots. A tree has many, many roots. By and large, though, the root of a lot of the problem with, see, the problem is not fatherlessness, and the problem is not necessarily females who want to take care of themselves. The problem is the breakdown of the marriages within the black community, the breakdown of the family unit. You got to understand that there's a link to a lot that has happened to our people. By and large, the black man has been demasculated, and the black woman has been defeminized. Very few black women have had the freedom that white women have to be free in relationships to the point where they have a man who is a breadwinner, who takes care of them, who makes sure food is on the table, and all they have to do is take care of the home. Not a lot of black women have had that story, so working for them is a choice. Adding to the home is a choice. A lot of black women have, like, I've been doing it on my own. Look, we defeminize them in the sense of black women, for a lot of people, are a prize. That black woman with the flat stomach, the nice tatas, and the round butt, right? That's what has hurt the family unit. And that's all I see on TV. I'm chasing that dream. I'm not really after a family unit. I don't see, now don't get me wrong, I know some of y'all may not want me to call his name, but I don't see TV shows anymore with the black family unit. I don't see The Cosby Show. I don't see Family Matters. I don't see, you know, and images matter. Narrators matter. And narratives matter. It's a very layered conversation.
Amen. Amen. I knew you was going to bring the heat, man. I felt it when you called in. I appreciate you, brother. Coach Lightfoot,
Yes, sir.
Are you still there? Hey, Coach, I got a question for you, because I know you said you like to go to God's word when we're dealing with these things. What say you about the men that say, I can't stay because I got to have more than one woman? And they point to the Bible and they say, you know what? Men in the Bible, they have more than one woman. They had concubines. They had wives. Why, if God say he the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he allowed it then, why doesn't he allow it now? To that, you say, brother?
To that, I would kindly tell that brother that he needs to attend a conference in Chicago. It's called BEC, Biblical Expository Conference, where he can learn how to rightly divide the word, because when people say things like that, they are totally taking scripture out of context, and they don't understand what the word is meaning and what the word is actually saying. And so, you know, you can take any scripture in the Bible and make the Bible say anything. So that would be the first thing I would recommend, is that they would get to the BEC conference or get under a good preacher, good pastor, who is an expositor and can rightly explain the word of God to them. Now, second thing I would tell them is that this more than one wife thing was never God's original design. It was Adam and it was Eve. That was God's original design. Now, you have, and I'm not going to get too theological, but in the Bible we have what we call God's permissive will, where he permits things to happen. But then you also have what the Bible is clear on, God's divine will, where even man, Satan, and evil cannot intercept or change what God has laid down divinely. And so under the umbrella of the permissive will, he allowed men like Solomon and other men of the Bible to have more than one wife, that just because they had them does not mean that God signed off on it. Again, tracing it all the way back to the garden, and the brother said it earlier, it is a root or a branch of sin. And they're dealing with branches, and there's no need of us chopping down branches of sin and allow a tree of sin to live.
Amen.
Well, can I add to that? Go ahead.
Twin, I'm messing with you. Go ahead, man. You know I want to hear what you got to say.
No, I don't want to be out of turn, but I want to quickly add to that, because I said this during these last 3 weeks. The proper exegesis, if we don't keep it on scripture, because I believe for the natural and spiritual, because we got to deal with the natural problem. We can't go all the way Jesus, Bible, 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 because we got to deal with the reality of the social issues in which we are talking about, and how they are. See, the Bible is history, and what was going on with the time affected Israel. When they went into Canaan, Deuteronomy 18, God told them, watch out when you get over into Canaan, because there's going to be some people over there that's doing some crazy stuff. Stay away from them. But when you look at Solomon, when you look at Solomon's life, to the brother's point, Solomon, all of those women caused his demise. Solomon died by all means a very young man because he was in love with too many women.
Yeah. And they turned him at the end.
they turned him.
Twin, he only had 1,000 women. What's wrong with that?
First of all, I want to say thank you for the follow-up. Second of all, it's because of you I had to go try to learn what the word exegete means. So thank you for that, for saying that the last 3 weeks. Because we keep saying this exegete word, and I told my wife, I said, babe, we got to look up this exegete, because I think he's either cussing or he's speaking another language, because I don't know what's going on. But, Rev, to his point, you have a lot of children, even in the household. What is the way to break through to the children? Children who have been scarred, who have been broken, upset, they're angry at the father, and so the father used that as an excuse to say, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be in their life anyway. They don't want me in their life. So why should I even try? Maybe now the kids are teenagers. You know, they're a little bit older. They're a little sassy, a little disrespectful. And the father is saying, you know what? I got my life. My life I want to live. You know, I got to get out here and get it. I got to work hard. I got to make money. In fact, I got other children. So if that person don't, if that kid don't want nothing to do with me, they'll come around. They'll be all right. Do you see this a lot? And if so, how can we bridge the gap? How can we mend these relationships?
Well, I'm probably the right guy to ask because I had to deal with this because of my own stupidity. Before I say that, though, I really say this sincerely when I say to you, Brother Manny, where have you been hiding Joseph Lightfoot? Because this guy is, I like him almost as much as I like Tom. I really do. And I don't even know him that well yet.
Yeah, Coach is cool, man. Coach is cool.
Bless you, man.
But listen to this. We gotta do both. Like Tom said, it ain't all about the spiritual, and it's not. But we gotta bring the spirituality into it, right? And it has to be multi-tiered. The problem we have in most situations dealing with most issues is we always try to ascribe one answer. But there is no one answer that fixes any situation and almost in any case. And so, number one, we really have to separate the kids and the parents, and we got to begin a process of counseling, whether it's church counseling and secular counseling, where we begin to break down the reasons why the behavior exists in the first place. Because even with me, because until you see yourself, when pride is introduced, you will never resolve an issue. So with me, I was one who said with my oldest daughter, I was one who said part of the reason I wasn't around was because her mother played games, and when I would go over to see her, I could only see her there. Or I could only see her for an hour and a half. And that did take place, but the truth of the matter is I have to be honest and say that didn't happen the majority of the time. I dropped the ball the majority of the time. And so we must teach men to take responsibility for what they're doing. We must teach the children that it's not their fault about what's going on, and we must help show them that there's a better way. Now, while we're teaching the men, we got to teach the wives too, because the one thing I like about some women, they will never, if the father's not there, they will never dog that guy out to their child. But that happens in some cases, right? But when you get to a place, when you have to understand, and this is where it really gets tough at, when you have church people or saved folk who are having bad marriages or bad relationships in front of their kids, they're automatically teaching their kids generationally to have bad relationships in secular situations and to have a bad relationship with God. So we gotta uncover all of that stuff. We gotta unpack all of that in a counseling session. Or whether it's secular or spiritual. When me and my wife was going through, I had to go back and repent and ask God and my kids and my wife to forgive me for my behavior, because my kids saw me do stuff I shouldn't have done. They heard me say stuff I shouldn't have said. And so you got to go back and heal that, and you got to let them see you loving how it should be done, because you're saying hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, at church, but you're coming home and you're speaking in a known tongue, if y'all understand what I mean. And so we mess our kids up for having relationships, and so now this happens generationally, along with the systematic plan of TV and music and everything else that comes along to drive the home apart. And so we have to find a way to separate the individuals, the mother, the father, the children, and we have to counsel them on a level to get them to understand, take responsibility. my second wife remarried. That's who my oldest daughter is by. When I was moving back here before my mom got sick, the Holy Spirit said to me, when you get back to Chicago, go and ask forgiveness of your ex-wife, her current husband, so forth, right on down the line, my daughter. And I'm telling you, when I went and I asked them for forgiveness, that thing broke. Prior to that, me and my daughter was, I'm talking about, she sent me a message Father's Day 2016 at 12:01 a.m. And it was one of the nastiest messages I ever received. And like I said, so fast forward 2 years later, came back, apologized, and now things are on a much better track, much better smooth. So we got to teach people how to stop walking in pride. And pride is not just male. It's not gender-based. We got to teach people to stop walking in pride, learn how to humble yourself, ask for forgiveness, especially of people that you've done wrong. And that includes your children. That includes your children, your spouse, whoever, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. And then we got to learn how to heal and unpack it. Because, unfortunately, a lot of these baby mamas that are acting crazy has to do with low self-esteem. A lot of these young men out here just dropping babies has to do with low self-esteem. So
amen.
I hope I answered the question.
Thanks. Good. Amen. Good.
Murph, can I jump in there real quick and just – I appreciate that, brother. Very powerful, very transparent. But I am a product of your question. In other words, when I was 5 years old, and I remember it like yesterday, and I'm 50 now. When I was 5 years old, my father stepped into my bedroom, and he said, son, I'll be back. I'm going to get milk. And he's still getting it.
Wow.
And so my mom had to raise five of us by herself. And so to answer your question, how do you break that cycle? How do you deal with that anger that could even be birthed into hatred because of what your daddy did? Here is what happened in my personal testimony. I'm going to do this real, real quick. Is number one, the good Lord had brought another man into my life, which was my mother's brother. And I know you all said, you know, we can't be so spiritual. But again, to me, everything backs up and points to God, because you can't be transformed by the renewing of your mind if there's not an inner work that happens first. What we're talking about
Amen.
Is foreign. Okay. And so I had
Amen.
A godly man in my life who had a wife, who had two children, and I saw how a home should be through my uncle. And through his preaching and through my grandfather, who had a wife and had children. And so even though my biological father was gone, the good Lord set me up with my grandfather and my uncle to show me a picture or to show me an image on how it ought to be. They actually led me to Christ when I was 7 years old. I gave my life to Christ. Now, here's where I'm going with that. When those spiritual biblical principles was taught to me down through the years, and going back to this renewing of the mind, when I got grown, I decided that I was not going to do to my children what my father did to me. And the Lord had to purge all of the bitterness, hatred, and all of the ill will out of me, and he did. And like the brother that spoke earlier, I, too, you know, Lord knows I ain't got no halo. I have an older son now who's coaching in Michigan, and I had him out of wedlock in my senior year in college. Matter of fact, I was on the court playing at Georgia, who was ranked eighth in the country at the time. And literally while I was on the court playing Georgia that night, my son was being born back in Kankakee, Illinois. Make a long story short, I went overseas, had some contracts. That's when I was going through ministry, getting ready to accept my call to ministry. Got done with all of those contracts, didn't sign anything. I was coaching Division I basketball at Western Kentucky University. The head coach just took a job at Pitt in the Big East. I had to make a decision. I said, do I go with him and launch my coaching career, or my son is back in Kankakee, Illinois, and I need to be in his life. So if my son need to see me, he need to be able to get to me. I decided not to sign the contract. I take that back. I signed the contract to be the assistant coach at Pitt,
Then I called the coach back 3 days later and said, "Coach, I can't do it. I got to go home and be in my son's life." And I've been in Kankakee, Illinois, ever since. And so my point is, I had to make a personal decision that I knew the pain and I knew the hurt and I knew the suffering that was inflicted upon me when my father left and never came back. And I wanted to personally fix that and say, I will never let a child of mine have those feelings.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Coach, I thought I knew everything about you. That's one story you never told us, Coach.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you told it tonight. I'm glad you told it tonight. Amen. Brother Monty, I got a question for you. Are you ready? This is about the older children.
I'm ready. I'm ready, Brother Murphy. Come on.
The ones that are grown up now. How can you mend the fence, build a bridge to repair the relationship with those children? Children that are already grown now. They are out on their own. They are experiencing life. They have children of their own. In what capacity can you expect to make a difference to mentor in that role?
Well, you know, I actually deal with that because I have young adult children myself, and so I'm pretty privileged and experienced in trying to mend relationships and mending brokenness through the Spirit of God, really, to be honest with you. It takes prayer. It takes patience. Somehow, I don't know if you all have ever experienced this, ministers of the word, is that when older generations always talking about younger generations on how things weren't like that when they were younger, but I'm always against the grain with that. I think there's nothing new under the sun, just maybe something different, maybe perhaps was with other generations, but nearly somewhat similar. And that is like the young man said from Kankakee, is that there's so much hurt and so much anger and think about it for a moment, young man that's on the line, is that an adult finds it very difficult to expel the anger that they're dealing with. How do we think a young person is supposed to deal with that anger or that hurt when an adult can't really channel the anger that they deal with? How do you expect a young person or teenager or adolescent to deal with the anger or the hurt that they deal with? I used to work for DCFS, and so many of the young children there had been either abused or neglected, or the parents they were in a dysfunctional situation where the state had to take it over. And when I tell you that, it's mind-boggling to be able to deal. And you definitely need to have the Word of God from a spiritual aspect, but I also believe in clinical counseling as well, because it's needed in place for the structure to be able to get those young people, as well as young adults or even adults, to be accountable for what has happened. Sometimes we want to hide it under the rug, of, you know, and say, "Oh, I don't want to deal with it. It's challenging. It's tough." But I believe in, if you face on whatever the problem is, face on whatever the situation is, and deal with it, that's the only way truly that you can start seeing healing. And so with my children, I can only speak to that, is that I continue to pray, which is one of the sources that I use before the Lord, and then praying, keeping my children up in prayer. And then I actually instituted once a month that all of my young adult children, that we come together and we have an outing and we sit and we just talk about being able to deal with what's going on in life and things that we find it to be challenging. And sometimes it's very helpful with us when we do those things. But then I have to be honest. There's times where my younger children, specifically my son, who's very defiant, who's got a mindset of his own, and he don't want to hear nothing about God, or he don't want to hear nothing about the things that he's dealing with. He just wants help, you know. He's just reaching out for help and crying out for help, and at times, you know, I often ask for a third party to come in. You know, I've asked a third party to come in and to assist me in dealing with situations with my children. And so, but it's not always easy. It's always to me has been a hurt there. And so just being able to get past the hurt and seeing the healing to me is actually good progress, you know. And then you got to go back, yeah, and as a parent, you got to go back, like my brother Joseph Murphy has said, you got to go back and apologize for your part, you know. That's where you hold yourself accountable. Yeah, I think because a person thinks they're grown, obviously they think that they don't make mistakes. To me, that's right. Where the transparency has to come in. You know, we all have been broken. We all have been struggling. We all have a past. We can't act like we you know, and that's the one thing that's a pet peeve with me in the walk with God. Sometimes Christian folk act like their stuff didn't stink, or they didn't go through something, or they didn't have any problems or situations. We can't continue to show ourselves as if we never had an issue, or we never had problems, or that we didn't encounter, that we didn't actually know what to do with it. Somebody helped us.
Amen.
Somebody, you know what I mean? And so I just really want to highlight that.
Amen. Amen. You're right. You're right, Brother Monty. It's I've often been an advocate for mental health strategy or program being implemented, as well as a spiritual counseling by the church. You're very right. You're on point with that. Three questions left, but what I'm going to do is we're going to do a speed round. I want you guys, each one of you can choose each one. I want you to tell me which of these three has most impacted fatherlessness in the home and why. And you get to choose it because, you know, I know some people don't like answering some of these questions depending on what the content is. So here's the three things: slavery. Okay. Slavery, homosexuality, brutality. You can choose either three.
What do you want?
I want you to just make your point. How has it impacted fatherlessness in the home? And why? Why is it impacted? How is it impacted? And maybe give one antidote to fixing it. You can choose slavery, homosexuality. Let's pull police brutality out and set it to the side. Let's say alcoholism or drug abuse. Alcoholism or drug abuse, homosexuality, or slavery. I'm going to start with you, Brother Tom.
Now, you know you can't ask me such a weighted thing like that, bro. It's come on, man.
Brother Tom, you just got to pick one, Tom. Just pick one. I know you want to answer all three of them. We don't have 3 hours.
I can't.
Tom.
I'm just going to say that the root of slavery, and the effect of it, I really don't know. I hope to one day in depthly be able to sit down and write a book about the effects of slavery that are still touching us in 2020 as people who are connected to the root or history of slavery. Now, mind you that there are people who may not go all the way back to the boat, but because they're black living in America, they're still affected by the way that black people have been conditioned. And so it's extremely deep, and it goes back. It does go back to the root of slavery, but we have to tell ourselves. I mean, from the field, literally from the field, they separated the field Negro from the house Negro. You know, they separated the certain women from colorism. You know, it's so deep. So women with different texture hair were treated differently from other women. The root of it definitely comes back to slavery. But again, we can't. That would take hours to unlay, and actually days and months and years, literally, to unravel that.
Okay, so you're just saying we need some more broadcasts to talk about that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 1,728 more.
Okay, then. Okay, Brother Tom, thank you so much. I'll come to you in a minute for a final comment, okay? Coach, you can pick either three, slavery, alcoholism, or drug abuse, or homosexuality.
Wow, that's a great question, Merv. All of those drastically affect the home, the man in the home, and the absentee of the man being in the home. But I would go with what the brother just said. I would probably say the greatest impact is slavery, and it could be that because of the dreadfulness and the demonic devise of slavery, those other things that you had labeled probably stem from that. And the reason I go with slavery, men, is because of the separation, as it was already said, and families were divided, tribes were divided, and somebody said earlier the demasculation of men. Men were reduced down physically, mentally, socially, economically, spiritually to be boys. And, you know, I don't know if – I'm sure you all have done your research and done some history, man, on how they literally would break a man down in front of women, in front of his children, and just humiliated a man. And in essence, when the woman saw that, she would teach naturally her young sons to acquiesce, to cower down, not to challenge power and authority, particularly white men, and not to have the role of a strong man standing on his own two feet and being responsible. And so I would choose slavery and all of its devastating effects that it has had on the mentality of men, and not only men, but women as well, and down through the years, how those things have affected the home of African Americans. Lastly, I'll say to that note that when we were separated, man, a lot of times, guys, if you all know, and I know you do, it was nothing to get married to somebody, and within a year or two or three, man, you could be on an auction block and gone to another state, never to see your wife or children again, you know. Mm-hmm. And so just the mentality of that, and again, I'm not using it as an excuse, but I believe it's a tool to say, you know, that has been handed down through the years. There's no sense in trying to develop family. There's no sense in trying to develop something solid because it's all going to be ripped away. It's all going to be torn apart. And so that I don't have to deal with those feelings, let me be the gigolo. Let me be as the Temptation said, Papa was a rolling stone. Let me just bounce from place to place, city to city, woman to woman. And all of those devastating effects of slavery, it stems all the way back to that, man. And so that's the one that I would select the most, Murph, because, again, it did not teach men. We were broken. We were broken, and it did not teach men how to be men and how to rear families and step up and be that strong, dominating male figure.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Amen. Coach. I'll come back to you for one last comment, a final comment. Rev,
You can pick your three. You know what the choices are. But something tells me you're going to pick slavery.
I just want to say, man, I don't want to be on this show again with these guys, man. I just don't, man. Let me say that. They didn't leave me nothing, Manny, brother Manny. They didn't leave me nothing, man. They didn't leave me nothing. Listen. Of course, I'm going to say slavery because it touched each component of the home. It touched the father. It touched the mother. It touched the children, and it didn't just touch them. It deeply impacted them to the point where generationally. So we say, well, these kids don't know nothing about slavery. Some of these kids don't even know who Abraham Lincoln was. They don't even know who Alex Haley was. And so they don't have to know who he was because slavery set precedent for a lot of policy, even in politics, that even exist in today. When slavery was abolished and the so-called Negro was freed, we had what was called the 13th Amendment that came along that says you couldn't have slaves unless they were criminals. And so what did they do to the slaves that were free? They criminalized them. And so then you saw slavery all over again, but in a legal so-called sense. And so you had mass incarceration back then, and you still have mass incarceration today. And so the slavery has to be the answer because it has been the most impactful for, you know, what where are we at, 401 years later? So there's so many ills that were born from that, causing women to feel more masculine than the men, having men of the same race not get along because you were lighter than me. Listen, I'm 53. I remember when we used to say light skin is not in right now. It's all about the dark brothers, you know. And back then I was young. I didn't know what I was saying. But that's just how it was passed down. Because why? Generationally, we were taught that there has to be division. You can see two people that look the same or are the same, but we are going to find a way to bring about separation. Have you ever sat in a circle where somebody's saying something good about somebody, but it seems to always be one individual who's going to find something negative to say? That's not just the moment hating. That's generations that have been pulled from slavery that has made its way 401 years later that has taught us. And then I tell you, Jason Whitlock, who just got fired from Fox Sports One, who was on ESPN and got fired, he is an example of the impact of slavery that teaches people to kowtow to the white man while putting down black men, black leaders. And so, yes, of course the answer is slavery.
Well, I tell you what, our next broadcast next Monday is going to be about, you know what, slavery. And I knew you guys would pick that one.
Can I just quickly say this? Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, Tom. You know, already interrupted me. Go ahead, Tom.
I'm sorry, man. You know, I can be rude sometimes, especially after Rev didn't talk. You know, these brothers on fire. But, you know, I just wanted to say too, like, we have to remember the white man was not only our slave master, he was our model. Rich white men who had multiple families, who had wives but were impregnating black women. Mm-hmm. So they were our models. And so everything that the behavior that exists in us, we learned it from them. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yep, that's good, Tom.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tom. And that's why I'm glad you're on the show, because you're going to point it out. I know you're unafraid, unapologetic. That's what we need today. Amen. Well, listen, This has been a, I mean, this has been a great, great broadcast. I mean, I love when we have multiple brothers on at one time. We get different perspectives, but it all seems to line up. I'm going to give each one of the brothers an opportunity to, you know, just let everybody know where they can find you, when the next time you have a broadcast or a church service or whatever the situation may be, you can let the people know, and then we're going to get ready to end the broadcast. I'm going to start with you, Brother Monty. Brother Monty, are you there? Amen. Okay, we're going to go ahead to Brother Tom. Brother Tom, where can they find you at, Brother Tom?
Well, I'm up at Trinity Tabernacle in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and that's the 2314 Plymouth Avenue North. I'm still allowed to preach there for now. I've had some controversial messages. Rev has sent a letter of support to keep me there. I'm doing okay.
Amen.
I got you, son.
Amen.
I got you, twin. I got you.
Are you on social media, Brother Tom? Any place they can find you there?
Yes, you can find me on social media, Tom Lyon, on Twitter, at Tom Lyon Lyon. That's Tom Lyon Lyon, L-Y-O-N-L-I-O-N. And you can find me on Instagram at Author Tom Lyon.
Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight, Brother Tom. You know, as always, you're welcome. Still waiting for you to send me information about your next broadcast, by the way.
You got it. It's on the way.
Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Tom. Coach, any place people can find you? When is church service happening? Are you guys even open? What's going on?
Yes, sir. We're not open. My dad is the pastor, who's my blood uncle, the guy that helped raise me. But he's the pastor, has been pastoring there for 37 years. So we're not open as of yet. We may look into possibly July or August. But the name of the church is Greater New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, and it's located in Kankakee, Illinois, 1591 East Cedar Street. And Sunday school time is usually at 9:30, and then morning worship is at 10:30. We're online. If you go to Facebook, if you have a Facebook page and you look up Greater New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Kankakee, Illinois, you can find us there. I also have a personal Facebook page under my name, Joe Lightfoot, and you'll see a 6'4" tall, bald head, black guy in the pulpit, at least looking like he's preaching. I don't know if he is or not, but at least he looked like he's preaching. And so I definitely welcome you all to do that. And, hey, if racism, I'll say this lastly, is going to be our topic into next week, man, I encourage you, brothers, I'm sure you probably already have, but for the other listeners, if you all have not gotten Hannah Jones' 1619 Project, the podcast, you need to listen to it. You need to listen to it. There's 5 episodes there that will help the conversation on next week. And I tell not only every African-American, but every white American, you need to know the origin of America and how it all came to be. And she did, Hannah Jones did an excellent job with the 1619 Project. And gentlemen, trust me, you will be hooked on that like you are the Bible.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Coach. I also like to welcome you anytime you do a live broadcast on Facebook, Coach. I mean, we have a God's Word to Man Facebook page. It's only about, you know, 2,000 followers. But, hey, I welcome all content Bible-based. So if you ever do a live broadcast on Facebook, you know, I'd be more than happy to share that to our page, okay?
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Absolutely.
All right. All right, Rev. You got the last final word.
So you can find me at the Caring Church of Memphis Facebook page. Every Saturday at noon, we broadcast. Every Wednesday for Word Wednesday at 7 p.m. I do have one literary work out there. It's an ebook form. It's called Defeating the Enemy, Strategies for a Healthy and Successful Marriage. It is a short read, of course. Right now I'm working on my second book, Crying on the Inside, as I talked about before. And so I just thank God for the honor to be on. I also want to say, if you guys haven't saw it yet, and I'm pretty sure, Brother Tom, you sound pretty informed, and so does Brother Joe, but if you haven't, see the documentary 13th Amendment, and it's just phenomenal. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure both of you are aware of The Birth of a Nation, which is just a despicable movie, but shows you just how America really thought about us. And so, yeah, so that's pretty much what I have to say. Thank
well,
God
folks,
for the honor to be on with you.
No problem. Thank you, Rev. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Listen, it's been a great broadcast. I'd like to thank all the brothers for joining me tonight. It's been a blessing. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. We'll have Brother Nate back at 7 p.m. He'll be teaching on a different series. I'm sure he's just coming back off a hiatus, off a bereavement leave, rather, I should say. He'll be back on the broadcast. And you guys can expect to hear me back next Monday around the same time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to be talking about slavery and its impact
on
the black home. All right? So for Reverend Joseph Charles Murphy, Brother Tom Lyon, Reverend Joseph Lightfoot, and Brother Monty Murphy, I'm Brother Manny. Man, we're out of here. God bless you. God keep you. And God go with you. Praise the Lord.
Bless you, brother.
Amen. God bless. Good night. God bless.
Make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Wash me through. Create me a clean. Make me more.